Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing very, very well. Everything's going good over here, and my only problem is I got my dog shaved yesterday. You ever gotten your dog shaved?
No, I got a short-haired dog, so he'd be just skin if we shaved him.
Nah, I love my Presley, and he looks so tough and mean with that long hair. He looks like a lion guarding my savannah out here, and then when I bring him home, he looks like Mary had a little lamb that I kept in my backyard. It needs to be done because he's so hot in the summer.
Right.
But my wife loves it. It's cute. It is cleaner. We don't have to, he's like super spotless clean. There's no worries because his hair is so short.
Right.
But it's just so sad seeing him later. He looks like the biggest sissy in the whole world. It's sad, man. It really is, but it's good for him. It's what I tell the groomer, because like when I drop off, she goes, I didn't lock that door. She don't want to groom him because he's so nasty.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because he has that mean streak in him. But then when he leaves, it's like Fonzie got his head shaved.
Right.
He loses all of his cool, man.
Right.
He comes home for a week. He's not barely talking back. It's like he knows his mojo's gone.
Right.
As his hair grows back, the nastier he gets. So our guard dog ought to be back by October.
There you go.
So, what's new with you? Anything, buddy?
Nah,
all good?
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. And
how's Pluto?
Oh, he's just wonderful.
He's not jumped any fences lately?
No, not lately. He's starting to ease into his life here, so it's all good.
He's getting old, in other words.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When he's a baby, that 6-foot fence don't look like nothing. When he gets about 3, he's like, I got food here.
Right,
it's not worth it.
We still don't trust him, though. But
no, I wouldn't either. I don't trust Presley. My groomer don't muzzle him anymore. She goes, he's not as nasty without the muzzle because he beats her up with everything else.
Right.
No, but I don't trust it. Every time I go to her and she has all her fingers and toes, I'm a happy man. So you ready to do a little Disney news?
Sure. A couple things happening down there. We can finally start to see which unit we're going to the $5 million Four Seasons private residences at Golden Oak are up for sale now, so we can get down there and start to see which one we're going to choose.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get two.
You are?
I'm in a spending mood. I'll give you the other one, okay?
Yeah, we've heard about these, a couple of years now. They've been building these, and they range from 6,000 square feet to over 10,000 square feet, and they're super luxury homes, and they start at $5 million. So if you want to get in some of the lower-end dwellings, you'll need $5 million to do that.
Yeah, from what I hear, it comes with a lifetime pass to the parks and free parking. I mean, they act like they're giving you that.
Yeah, that's pretty... I want to go over and see these, actually. I'm sure it'll be a gated community. You won't be able to get in there, but I'd love to go in and just see what they are. They have the block plans up online and stuff, and they are definitely mansions, I'd call them, or at least mini mansions anyways.
Yeah, I know exactly the type. I've built plenty of them around here. We have a couple developments like that for the football players and, you know where they're going to live, over in the Mulliga Hill area, which is a real nice area. There's like some real, we call them McMansions.
Yeah, McMansions.
They're pretty big, and 10,000 square feet. I don't know what you need with all that. I mean, everybody I've ever known that has that big of a house uses only quarter of the room.
Yeah, it's one of those things, though. What do they say? Depending on how much you make, you spend to your level of income. So it's just, you know, it's all, it's all relative, I guess, to what you make. You know, if you make $1,000 a month, you live a certain way. If you make $10,000 a month, you live a certain way. If you make $10 million a month, you live a certain way. So, you know, it seems wasteful to us, but it's just the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I would buy here would be, if I hit the big one, would be because of its Disney property. But any other reason than that, me and my wife even thought that we hit the big one, we keep this house and buy something decent down there. I don't want to be doing all kind of things. I'd rather do stuff for other people than go crazy on a house that's three people living in.
Yeah, it's one of those things, though. You'd have people to do all that stuff. You'd have a gardener. You'd have people to take care of all that, so it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, I know. I'd be out. I'm the guy that feels bad having the guy that works on his house.
Right.
I'm usually out there helping.
Right. Nah, it's just because we can't relate to it, because we're not in that situation.
Yeah, I don't know how not to help. Like, I have a guy comes over to work on the heater, and I see him struggling. I have to go over and grab the other side because I know what I'm doing. Or
right.
I could see me out. No, dude, this is. I'll cut this side of the yard. You cut that side of the yard. I'd feel bad, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's who I am.
Yeah. So, anyways, if you're interested in one of those, you may want to get down there and get a realtor and start looking at those.
Yeah, it's right at the end of actually the Riverside Road.
Yeah, kind of at the end of the road there where you take a left to go down to the Magic Kingdom. Isn't that one of the golf courses right there, too?
Yeah, exactly. And it takes you right to Fort Wilderness, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. So if you're driving that way, you can maybe see them from the road there, or maybe you could drive in there and get a peek. I may do that next time I'm down there.
Absolutely. I know I will be, because we always drive over to the Magic Kingdom from Riverside, so I know I'll be trying to finagle my way in there.
Right.
Maybe what I'll do is I'll bring my taping tools and my construction tools and pretend I'm working.
Yeah, don't get...
I'm meeting somebody in here.
Don't get arrested, though.
Yeah, my wife won't bail me out.
Yeah. let's see. Moving along here. Just some updates, STK, Orlando Construction Updates, Disney Springs, that continues. There's pictures up online, and this restaurant is expected to open in the Landing before the end of 2015, so that should be, it'll be opening up in, what, a couple of months, right? 3-4 months.
Absolutely.
So that'll be nice, another restaurant down there at the Landing / Disney Springs.
I'm looking forward to STK Steakhouse. I'm looking forward to that. You know, Chef Mary, I mean, I like Chef Mary Mota, so I'm looking forward to seeing what he has to offer.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Well, the pictures, looking at the pictures, they still got a ways to go, though. I mean, it's not anywhere near done, at least according to the pictures I'm looking at, but construction is abound down there, as we well know.
Yeah, once they start getting into the fit-ups, once the sheetrock starts going on in the walls, then it's like all hands on deck. We're already 3 months behind. The sheetrockers, the carpenters, the trimmers, we all have to make up all the time that they lost on the actual building of the shell.
Right, right. No, and it is true. The infrastructure always takes longer, and you're right. Once the sheetrock goes up, it'll come together quite quickly.
Absolutely. Well, what happens then? It starts to look like something, so then the owners and the management start to get impatient. They see it all. They see it coming together, so now they want it done yesterday.
Right, right. Yeah, they want to get that opening date so they can start recouping all those millions of dollars they spent, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, they just want to see it come to fruition. You know what I mean? They want it done. It's like, I haven't been on a job in the last 25 years that hasn't been behind schedule, so they say.
Right.
And not a single building has ever made a dollar. I don't get it. Every guy I'm doing a job for is losing money. I don't know why they continue to build all these buildings. I mean, none of them's ever made a dime.
No, that's true. That's true.
It's all I ever hear. I was telling my wife the story the other day. I'm doing a CVS in the Union, and the guy I'm working for, his road man's telling me how broke he is. And then the owner pulls up in his brand new Viper, which this is a red one. 2 weeks ago, he was there with his Yellow Viper, and he's headed to his airport to get on his plane, and they're rushing me to tell me, and they owed me a $5 an hour bonus for running the job, which I was fighting for a month and a half, and they didn't have it because they're making no money, but the guy bought two Vipers. And driving his, and flying, going to fly on vacation to Colorado in his private jet, but his own jet, but, you know.
Go figure.
They're not making any money. I just know Rite Aids and CVS's are going up on every corner.
Right, right.
And don't forget the Walgreens.
Right. It amazes me how they all can stay in business when you have three or four pharmacies, you know, within viewing distance of each other.
It's amazing. It's kind of like the McDonald's and the Burger King going up across the street from each other.
Exactly, exactly.
But apparently that's how it works.
I guess. Moving right along here, the Disney Springs update, just kind of an overview. Work continues on Disney Springs, and looking at the story that's up here, they have, it's going to be like a water feature, and I didn't really understand this till I got looking at this, but it sounds pretty cool. The Heart of Disney Springs, which will be an area that runs from Planet Hollywood behind the landing, past Raglan Road, and end at T-Rex. It's going to be a kind of like a lazy river at Typhoon Lagoon. The water feature will run through the center, providing great water views for the restaurants and walkways in the area. STK Orlando, the new Planet Hollywood Observatory, Chef Arts Fish Camp, which I've never heard of that before.
No, what's that going to be?
It doesn't say. Sprinkles, Morimoto Asia, Raglan Road, and yet unannounced restaurants will all have views onto this water. So there are going to be even more restaurants than we even know about right now as part of this kind of waterway that's going to spill into the Disney Springs district.
Yeah, I'm like excited to see all this stuff. I can't wait, actually. I mean, I don't know what I'm looking forward to more. STK Steakhouse, Mary Mota's. I can't wait to try the Boathouse. It's like we're gonna have restaurant overload. When you go down to stay at this fall, Dan, where are you gonna be? You know what I mean? You ain't gonna know what to do with Disney Springs.
No, it'll take multiple trips just to try all these, because as we always say, we still have our favorites that we're gonna want to partake in, but there's gonna be so many new restaurants that it might be over three or four trips you gradually, you know, try each of these new offerings. So it's exciting, and that's what keeps us all going back, you know, because there's more to see, more to do, more restaurants to experience, etc., etc.
Oh, it's hard to stay away from your originals, your favorite, your old standbys, which I call them. But I think on the next few trips we're going to have to. I've been getting more and more out of my shell lately. The last few times I've been down there, I've been trying more things different.
Mm-hmm.
I think this next trip, you know, I'll still do the Columbia Harbor House and the couple counter service I like, but I think all my sit-down meals will probably be at brand-new places. The only thing will stop me will be grabbing my bangers, you know what I'm saying? But everything else will be new.
Yeah, there's so many to try. And but then again, I mean, you're a park guy and you like to be in the parks quite a bit, so, you know, you'd have to spend an inordinate amount of time at Disney Springs, and maybe you will if you want to partake in these restaurants, because as we know, most of them or all of them are going to be in Disney Springs.
Well, what I'm going to try to do is, my game plan is to get like 8 o'clock meals.
Okay.
So this way, and because we stay at Riverside, or the Riverside, or if we stay at the Bay, we'll be right there, so we'll spend a day at the park, come home, take showers, and then go to downtown maybe two nights, you know what I mean,
right.
and eat at different places.
Right, yeah. But like you said, that's two nights. If there's six or seven restaurants down there's no way you're going to do it on one trip, though, you know?
No, absolutely not, but what I'm saying is I'm definitely going to be trying different things. Like, even at World Showcase, I'm going to try, you know, a couple different restaurants, because I haven't eaten at every place, because new ones have opened.
Right, right.
Or try old standbys again. I mean, not old standbys, but something I haven't eaten at in 10 years, compared to going to Spice Road, Le Cellier, and Rose and Crown. Spice Road, Le Cellier, Rose and Crown.
Right.
You know, give a couple of the others a try again.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Let's see here. A frozen holiday wish returns to the Magic Kingdom for the holidays. So those that enjoyed that show last year, and we didn't know if it was going to be a one and done. It sounds like they're bringing it back this year, so you'll either be able to see it again, or if you're down there for the first time over the holidays this year, you'll be able to see it.
No, that show really is a cool show. I mean, I actually watched it again the other day because we were down there last year and it was going on. Remember I told you with the snow, we had all kind of things going on. We were down there still from Frozen.
Yeah.
But actually, they updated it this year from what I seen. And even the update's even better with the fireworks and everything, the display. If you get a chance, because that's the great thing about the YouTube on the big screen down here. I can appreciate it a little more than watching it on my iPhone or a little tablet. When you have it on the 55-inch TV, you can actually appreciate the show. And
right.
I suggest you try doing that because it's really, really... They did a great job. The way they synchronized the music with the fireworks, it's a really good show.
No, I'd love to see it. Like I said, I've never been down there during the holidays, and that's on my bucket list. So it won't happen this year, but maybe next year we'll try to get down there during that time. And if they're still showing that, we'll get to see it.
I might try to get a loophole and put that on my park.
There you go.
What's up next, buddy?
Yeah, let's see. Reservations are now open for Minnie's Holiday Dine at Hollywood and Vine Diner. Let's see. They're going to be offering a new holiday dining offering at the studios. Minnie's Holiday Dine at Hollywood Vine Diner. Minnie's Holiday Dine at Hollywood and Vine with Reserve Fantasmic. How fantastic this says. Viewing is available for $52.99 per adult, $31.99 per child, blah, blah, blah. Without Fantasmic, I see. That was a typo. So I guess they're going to have, you know, for the holidays, a package similar to the Fantasmic dinner packages, only Minnie will be involved with this one.
Oh, okay. So you get a little bit of, you get to see Minnie instead of Mickey?
I guess so. So this is new, so that's pretty cool.
They keep adding stuff every day, man, for food.
Yeah.
It seems like food's their ticket to add to. I mean, every time you turn around, there's another food or another dining special, a behind-the-scenes special, a Christmas party, a illumination food, a wine parties. I mean, they're really adding the food specials. That Harambe Nights over at the Animal Kingdom, every time you turn around, there's something new with a food offering.
Yep. And I'll just step on my soapbox again, but the thing that kind of bothers me about it is that, you know, all of these things are all at an upcharge. So even though you pay thousands of dollars to go to Disney World and you buy your tickets or your park hoppers or your annual passes or whatever they might be, all of these offerings that we've been hearing about lately are all at an upcharge.
Oh, absolutely they are.
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean... A lot of it, the after hours ones, I don't mind. It's when they start adding it during regular park hours it bothers me, because if they're running the character meals with $50 and $40, it kind of takes away of your options where you can go eat.
Yeah, because like we always say, you have a typical family of four for the, you know, just like this one we just mentioned, the Minnie's Holiday Dine. You know, there's $200 right there, boom, on top of all your other expenses.
Oh, absolutely, and that's the thing that gets me. It's like, so if they're doing three or four character lunches or dinners, I mean, your options dwindle down, and then, because more people don't do them than do, because they can't afford it.
Right, but on the other hand, they must be wildly successful from a monetary perspective, because they keep doing more and more, so they're obviously making money on them.
Oh, absolutely. It's like the characters are... They're already paying the characters.
Right, right.
So just make them stand over there and we can charge three times the amount for the breakfast.
Exactly.
You know, they're going to be meeting and greeting that day regardless if they're in the restaurant or they're out in the park for free. So they're saying, let's bring them in. That's the one thing I want to look for, too. Is it cutting down on the free opportunities in the parks?
Right, right.
That's what we should start paying attention to, because that just came to me now, is all these dinner and character dinings now going to stop you being able to do the regular meet and greets for free?
Yeah, I don't think they would stop that, but maybe they curtail them or they're not
That's
as
what I'm
plentiful.
Saying.
Right, right.
Has it been slowing down? I don't know, because I haven't taken a child there in a while.
Right.
But And I'll notice the characters, don't get me wrong, every once in a while I'll run up and even get my pick if they're walking or alone, joking around. But I don't notice it as much as you would if you had kids. I would like to hear from listeners, whatever, if they notice that there's less opportunities or is there actually more?
Right. You know, and the question I'd have too is, and I don't know, I should have looked before we went on, but did Hollywood and Vine offer a regular breakfast before this? Do you know what I mean? Now, can you?
Yeah,
can you not,
yeah, they did. So can, I think they. Okay. I think they did. They offered a breakfast, but I think it was another character meal. They just changed the character
meal. So this isn't necessarily a new character dining. It's just a variation of an existing character dining.
Exactly. They added. They changed up the characters because they did that a couple years ago at one at the Animal Kingdom, the Donald the Safari one.
Yeah, Donald Saurus or whatever it was.
Yeah, Donald's Breakfast Safari or whatever it was called. I forget. I'm sorry, guys. But anyway, they change the characters up in there a little bit. They change them up every once in a while in a different one.
Yeah, I think this one, if I recall, used to be like the, you know, for the little kids. I forget which shows were on the Disney Channel, but they used to have those characters.
I think this is another way of taking the studios away from being the studios.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But this is just, I think, a limited engagement. It's only going to start on November 7th, and it says it's for the holidays, so maybe it'll go back to whatever it was, you know, after the first of the year.
I have a feeling there's going to be more frozen breakfasts over there.
Yeah.
I have a feeling. And I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying I could just see this park is getting more and more of a frozen aspect. I'm surprised they just didn't turn it into a frozen breakfast.
Someday they will.
Yeah, you know, but you know my point there. I mean, everything else in the park now is frozen, which I'm happy about. I'm not complaining. The only thing we're complaining about here is Maelstrom.
Yeah.
That's the only complaints we have here about frozen.
Exactly.
Half the show.
Right.
I'm on the fence. I'll leave my judgment for when it's done.
No, we're not going to go into that again.
No, we aren't. But I love goating you into it.
No, and you really don't, because I keep telling you I love Frozen. It has nothing to
I
do
know.
With that.
No, I just like hearing you yell about
the Maelstrom
pavilion.
And you love Maelstrom, too. You're just trying to the other side
of love
it.
Maelstrom.
Just for a good argument.
But I learned my lesson with the whole Johnny Depp deal. Because I hated him going into Pirates.
Right.
And when it was all said and done, I still enjoyed my Pirates. I'd still rather him not be in there.
Right.
But it didn't destroy the ride for me. The only difference is they are redoing the entire ride. But you need to blame Norway on that.
Nah.
Because they didn't pony up and save the
Disney
pavilion.
Has plenty of money. They could have done something if they wanted to.
You know them. They're not going to go there.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Work is continuing on the final phase of Magic Kingdom's Central Hub walkway expansion. And basically, they're working on the walkways that are going to be near Cinderella Castle now. They'll ultimately link up with the walkways around the recently opened Plaza Gardens to provide a second ring to the hub's walkways. So even though the hub, you know, we kind of said, oh, that's done. That's good. That's pretty much all over. Now they're starting to really go to town on the areas closest to the castle. So more construction in the Magic Kingdom continues.
Yeah, I tell you what, that's another one that I wasn't sure about. Now it's beautiful.
Yeah, like I said, it is beautiful. It's different. Yeah, I guess it's good.
Yeah, well, I'm going to miss the moats and the water. And you know, everybody, I was upset about my docks. Mm. But the point is, when it was said and done, it does open up everything because that hub during the fireworks is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't get through there with a crowbar.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it had to do, too, for safety features. I mean, I'm sure they were worried about, God forbid, something happened during the fireworks and people had to get out of the park. Where were you going?
Right, right.
You know, so I'm sure that had a lot to do with it because the parks are busier now than they've ever been. And they're doing all these extra firework shows and stuff like that. Not everybody can get around the outsides, or not everybody knows. Like an emergency, you're not going to know right away to run behind the buildings. Like there's that back entrance that goes behind Main Street and lets you back out.
Right, right.
Like the same way there is one at the studios. Most people don't know to even get to that. I didn't know about that till like 5 years ago into the park.
Right, right.
You know, I got rerouted that way one time. I was like, man, this is cool. I get around all this stuff. So most people don't know about that. If you're in an emergency, kid's going to run right to the hub.
Right, right.
And if you can't get through, you can't get through. And over at Hollywood and Vine, it was actually, I remember, it was Princess Sophia the first and Doc McMuffin, and you're right, all the people from the Disney Channel.
Exactly.
You know, Handy Mandy and Jake, the Neverland Pirates.
Yep.
And it was $26.62 and $30.88 for adults and $15.17 for children. So the price did go up with this new character dining, too.
Well, Minnie's much more expensive.
Oh, yeah, her quote. Her agent, her quote's much higher than Handy Mandy, I'm sure of that.
Well, plus those, I call them secondary characters, but all the characters you just meant, as those shows kind of run their course on TV, they kind of switch them out. You know, if you remember over at the studios, they... I can't remember the names, but they, you know, they used to, whatever the hot show was for a couple of years.
Oh, they had
years.
Doug Live.
Exactly.
Doug Live there for a while.
Yeah, exactly. So
I have many pictures by that.
Yeah. So they don't have the staying power as obviously a Minnie Mouse, which is a major character in the Disney stable. So she commands more.
Oh, big quote, man. She's what we call an A-lister.
There you go.
She can carry her own movie.
Yeah. Let's see here. Major refurbishment of the Flying Fish Cafe will be beginning in February of 2016. The closure will begin on that date and last all the way through November 2016. So if you are going to Disney World during this time, you obviously won't be able to make an ADR and you want to look elsewhere. But the kitchen and dining room will be renovated, but there will be no changes to the concept of the restaurant, so it will be returning as the Flying Fish, only better.
Yeah, I like that restaurant. Have you ever eaten there?
Nope, never have.
No, the food's really, really good. It's kind of on par with, like, your California Grill, Le Cellier, Yachtsman. It's their signature restaurant at the Boardwalk.
Yeah, I think we had this discussion, and I know they have steak and they have other offerings, but the fact that the word fish is in it, my family, right away, no way, don't want to go.
Yeah, I mean, they got a char-crusted Angus New York strip that's really good, and then they have the, you know, they have the surf and turf. It's the one I got is the pan-crusted Angus New York strip steak and then a potato-wrapped red snapper. The potato-wrapped red snapper is to die for. It's really, really good.
Well, at least you got fish and not a steak.
Yeah, oh, I got one of both.
Oh, there you go.
I got the New York strip steak with the potato-wrapped red snapper. It's like a combo.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. I thought maybe you went there twice and got one time and one the other.
No, there's a, and you can get the Flying Fish Idaho Potato Red Snapper by itself.
Yeah, yeah.
But the way I looked at it, it's $40 for that. And for the extra $9, you can get the New York strip with it. So it's kind of like a no-brainer.
Right. And I know I've told this story before, but I'll plug it in here anyways for the new listeners that we have now. Actually, the name Flying Fish, and I learned this from one of Lou Mangiello's tours that he did of the boardwalk and all the restaurants and everything. The term Flying Fish actually has nothing to do with fish. It has to do with the end car on a roller coaster that I believe was in the state that you reside in.
New Jersey.
Yeah, one of the roller coasters. It was called the Flying Fish, and that's the restaurant. And I believe there's paintings or some sort of artwork and stuff. If you look around in there, you'll see. So it is kind of misleading. The word Flying Fish has to do with a roller coaster, not necessarily a seafood restaurant.
Absolutely, you're right. And I think it's from the Steel Pier in Atlantic City.
Okay. I wasn't sure where, but I'm pretty sure he said it was somewhere in New Jersey.
Yeah. There's a and that's how they're very deceptive. But with the boardwalk, you know, you got the roller coaster.
Yeah, no, from a theme perspective, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. There's a lot of offerings here you would like to. Then they got the Oak Grilled Maine Sea Scallops. They're really good.
Oh yeah,
I mean
this
restaurant is good. We've snuck over there a couple times because of staying here and staying at the Swan and Dolphin.
Right.
Yeah, we've always wanted to try it, and we finally did, and it's an awesome restaurant.
Yeah, I gotta get over there. We ate at El Forno there, whatever that Italian restaurant is last time, so we were close to it, we just didn't make it over there.
You should have stuck out the back door and got some fish over here, Dan.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Yeah, I know you really like the Dolph Orno over there.
Oh, yeah.
He said you had a good meal.
It was awesome.
Do you like mussels, Dan?
Yeah, I don't mind mussels.
Yeah, they got Chardonnay steamed mussels here that are really good, too.
Nice.
All right, what's next, my friend?
Hopefully you're having a good month this week. You're going to have to probably send in a donation to Disney because their earnings weren't that fantastic this last quarter, quarter three in 2015. They went from $2.2 billion to only $2.5 billion. So, you know, that's not really much of an uptick in their earnings. So we might have to take a collection and send in a couple of bucks to help them out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're hurting really bad. I hear they're hurting so bad. Did you hear the rumor that they're buying land to expand Disneyland now?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, the reports are they're buying parcels of land across from Disneyland to they want to expand.
I didn't know that there was any land available. I thought it was all bought up.
I think they're buying existing stuff that's already there to tear down.
I mean, you would think any of those abutters, if you will, if Disney really wanted to, and it sounds like maybe that's what they've started to do, they could make them a deal they can't refuse, right? Here's $5 million to go away, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking that's what's going on. I've read multiple articles, and this is just a rumor mill, but they're saying they're really looking into certain parcels of land there to expand. They want to build another park. So we'll see. They're saying with everything going on with Star Wars Land and Pixar and Frozen here, because it's my home park, Walt Disney World, the one I go to all the time.
Right.
They want to have a piece of that out there with all the expansion stuff, the Marvel. It was the Marvel and the Star Wars was the main two that they were talking about because of them buying all that.
Right.
They want to be able to use them out there, but they don't want to. They've already taken out as much as the existing stuff as they want to right now.
Yeah, well, and it makes perfect sense. I mean, if you've ever seen an aerial photo of Disneyland, there is literally no room, you know, outside of the two parks in the parking lot they have there in at downtown Disney. I mean, Route 5, you're driving down the road, you can see Space Mountain from the highway. It's the most bizarre thing you've ever seen, or at least it was for me when I was out there. And then everywhere else around the park itself is all Hotel Sixes, Howard Johnson's, Denny's, you know, all the stuff that you would kind of envision out on International Drive down in Florida. I mean, it's just so tight. You go right from that, and, you know, I've said this before, and if you've listened to other shows or people have been out there, some of the hotels that are outside of Disneyland proper, it's a shorter walk from them to the front gate of Disneyland than it is just from some of the Disney hotels. So it is super, super tight.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the only reason we end up getting a park in Florida.
Exactly.
Because it was an orchard when he built on it. There was nobody around. And then all of a sudden, they didn't buy as much property as they needed to.
Right.
Or they couldn't afford anymore. And then next thing you know, everybody and their brothers building around their, you know, masterpiece is what I like to call it.
Right. You're talking about Florida or?
No, Disneyland. My point was the reason why Disney World came and they bought the amount of property they did because he didn't want the same junk to go around his park that happened in Disneyland.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. He, you know, literally, and we've all, you know, read the story, and, you know, Orlando or Kissimmee or Lake Buena Vista, whatever you want to say, it was literally just a swamp when he bought that land in Florida. And that's why I get somewhat ticked off at, you know, we'll say the locals, if you will, that live down in Florida. Tourists, and they're all, you know, grumbly. Well, if it wasn't for Walt Disney World and Walt building his park there, it'd still be a swamp and nobody would have jobs and it wouldn't be the huge economy that there is down there. So, you know, I kind of get it that, you know, locals would be a little, you know, sick of the tourist, if you will. But let's face it, Disney World has brought all the prosperity to that central Florida area that exists.
Yep. I get in the same fights here with the locals with down the shore.
Right.
We'll be working down the shore. We'll be down the shore. And you'll talk to people, and they'll be complaining about, oh, here comes summer now, all these people coming down here. And I'll go to them, so were you born and raised here in Ocean City? No. My parents brought me down. Oh, so your parents brought you down here, but now you no longer want anybody else to enjoy your, you know,
right.
Like my taxes, because I live a half hour inland,
right,
still pays for your beach erosion. You know what I'm saying? They become so stuffy that they can afford this beach house. They don't want nobody else down there. But 90% of the people that live on all the shores are from Pennsylvania or inner New Jersey,
right,
that actually would go down there to summer and ended up buying down there. But they all act like they were the only ones that ever were there.
Yeah. Now we have the same issue up here. Cape Cod is a very, you know, it's an affluent place, but, you know, tons of people go there for summer vacation. I mean, presidents go there, you know, everybody goes there, and, you know, you always hear the complaining, here comes all the tourists. Well, I mean, they're putting millions and millions of dollars into the, you know, the local economy and, you know, restaurants and, you know, hotels and all that stuff, but, you know, people still crab about it. And you're right, probably a lot of them weren't born and bred in Cape Cod. They're, you know, from elsewhere themselves, so it's kind of a normal thing.
Absolutely. My argument is so then why do all the restaurants and everything close down during the winter?
Right, right.
If you guys carry this economy so well down here, why is everybody closed during the summer? Why aren't you out contributing to it?
Right.
Why are you not down here all winter?
Right. You definitely need... you know, tourism is a big part of places like we just mentioned, and is particularly in, you know, Walt Disney World. I mean, it's the number one tourist destination in the world.
Yep, they get aggravated. They're like, I'm tired of arguing with this knucklehead.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because in all the years I've gone to Walt Disney World, I think I've only bumped into a couple, two, three cast members that I've happened to strike up a conversation with that are actual born and bred in Orlando or, you know, Lake Buena Vista or whatever. Very, very rarely do you find somebody, you know, most people are transplants that live down there for the most part.
No, absolutely. And you'll see where they're from underneath their name tag, which I really like that little extra, don't you?
Yeah, that is, you know, you can strike up a conversation if you see somebody that's from your hometown, but you got to be careful of that too. I've been burned many a time, and you know, the cast members will kind of, if you call them on it, they'll you know, kind of tease with you or whatever. But just like any other workplace, a lot of times somebody will show up for work, they forget their name tag, so they'll just throw on any old name tag. Uh-huh. So, you know, I'm Bill from Missouri, and you start saying, oh, I'm from Missouri, and you know, you start asking him some questions, and you can see quite quickly that he doesn't have a clue as to what he's talking about. Then he'll come clean. Oh, I'm not really Bill. I'm Kelvin from Hawaii or something, you know. So
yeah.
It's not always accurate. Most of the time it is. But that is a nice trait that, you know, the Disney name tags, just to kind of connect to somebody back home, you know, potentially.
Yeah, I just like to see them. I like to read where different ones are from.
Right.
You know, you think you're staring at them sometimes, but you're really not. I'm trying to figure out where they're originally from. I like, inquiry minds need to know.
Right, exactly.
So, but that's just how I am. I'm that way. But I'm, like I said, I'm glad that all these knuckleheads built up around Disneyland, because that's what gave us our Disney World, because he was so disgusted with it.
Yeah. So, they didn't think it out, you know. Well, again, he didn't have...
Well, just think, if that would have been 47 square miles, who knows if Florida would have been the next one. They might have just gone out of the country.
Yeah, who knows? We've heard the stories. They were going to do a Northwest-type park up north somewhere, as I recall, and that never materialized. Mineral Springs or something like that never happened. I mean, everything happens for a reason, and I'm glad that it worked out the way it did, because you have a beautiful... Walt Disney World right down in Florida.
Absolutely. Can't wait to get back, buddy. You're going to get there before me the way it looks, but
yeah,
I'll be back soon.
There you go. Went just one other. This will cause you much distraught. The Primeval World refurbishment, I guess, continues. But the it's scheduled to close on August 17th, and it won't open up until November 12th. So if that's an attraction you enjoy, you won't be able to enjoy it during that time.
Yeah, well, I hope for some reason it don't come back.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to, unfortunately.
I wish somebody would kidnap that Primeval World, the one over Captain EO. They can kidnap both them rides and take them out of there. Like I said, I wanted to draft both of them just so I can dismantle them and get rid of them. But the guys won't let me.
Uh-oh.
You know, you guys won't let me draft them too. Oh. They say they no longer exist.
Let's see. Pizza Fari, one of the main quick service restaurants at Disney's Animal Kingdom, is set to close for refurbishment later this month. It's going to start on August 24th excuse me, and run through October 19th. And again, we had heard about this when Starbucks opened, that this would close, and I guess it is. So they're going to be doing some refurbishments to that, and it's going to be, well, they're saying that this is connected to the addition of a full table service restaurant component, and that'll open later this year as well. So Pizzafari won't be open for a little bit here.
At least we have Starbucks now.
There you go. That's the important
thing. Keep the wife happy. That's the main thing. I can get I like Pizzafari, but I can get pizza anywhere on property. I can deal without that. As long as my wife can have her morning Starbucks, I'm a happy man.
Yeah, I've never eaten lunch or dinner or there or anything, but I have eaten breakfast there a couple of times because it's kind of on the way to Kilimanjaro Safaris or whatever. So I've popped in there, and they have the standard breakfast fare. So I have been in there a couple of times.
Yeah, it was decent food. It'll be nice again. I mean, I just can't keep up with all the rumors of everything being built and moved from here to there. It's crazy.
Oh, it is. It's mind-boggling, all the stuff that's happening in construction. And you're right, you've got to really keep up on it, because every day it seems like something new is being announced or being closed for construction or moved or who knows what.
I mean, it's every time you turn around, like the Flying Fish came out of nowhere. I mean, every time you turn around, another restaurant is going under the construction knife.
Yeah.
It's like everything's being operated on down there lately, which, again, it's a good thing. But I don't think I don't think we're ever going to go down there again and see it completely done and not see any walls up. I mean, you would go down years ago and you'd see a wall here or there, but every turn you make now, there's walls up.
Right, right. Yeah, we said that. With everything with the studios and Marvel and Star Wars and Avatar Land and, you know, even the Magic Kingdom now, they're working on the Hub and Disney Springs. I mean, it's just, it really is mind-boggling how much construction is going on down there. And we didn't even mention the minor things like the restaurants and the attractions and what's...
The hotels, you know, hotels are under refurbishment right all the time. It's crazy how much is going on down there. It's like, I mean, the Magic Kingdom, I mean, it might safely be to say at the beginning of next year, I think that might be done for a little bit. You might be able to walk through that entire park and see nothing close.
Right, right.
Except for their normal maintenance, like on Splash or something like that, where they take the boats out, but it isn't like there's walls on.
Right. About the most you might see is the crane up if they're putting the lights on the castle or taking them down or whatever.
But I can't wait to walk down Main Street, because remember a couple years ago they were repainting all the facades on Main Street, so you had the blankets up, the screens up.
No.
Remember screens up over the building?
Yep.
So it was like every time I've been down the past 5 or 6 years, and it's been like 10 times, I have not walked in with Fantasyland, with the castle redo, the Hub, the painting, this. I mean, it's like I want to go down Main Street just one time without any distractions.
Yeah, I mean, most of the pictures I have of Main Street the last couple of years has been some sort of scrim or something up over the bakery or, you know, when they mm-hmm. were doing the Starbucks retro. And, you know, you're right. It will be kind of nice to see, you know, little or no construction at some of these places.
I mean, and that's what feeds me. So, and I understand it's what keeps it beautiful, but I'm not hating it, but I'm looking forward to, because I remember the one year it was all clean and then I get to the end and Casey's Corners is under.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's like every year, the last few years, something's been down. They repainted Fantasyland, so that was being redone. And it's just like everything. Hopefully, and they're now we forgot also the restaurant over at Jungle Cruise.
Right, right. That's going to be, that area will be under construction for, you know, foreseeable future anyway. So, yeah, there's still dribs and drabs. It's going to continue.
Absolutely. So that's all the news you have?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The rest is pretty minor stuff. I guess I'll just mention the test at BFS restaurant is over, and it is breakfast offering at that restaurant will be a full-time thing now. So those that were wondering if that would stay permanently, yes, it will. And you can now book ADRs and plan on having breakfast at Be Our Guest if you so choose.
Be our guest to overpay for breakfast if you want. I might try it once, but I'll go with my bounty platter.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I'll get over there at some point. We've eaten dinner there a couple times, but we'll try the breakfast at some point.
Yeah, the breakfast is the only thing I have problems with. And I'm not cheap, but it's one of the things where I just... paying over $20 for breakfast, it just rubs me the wrong way.
Right.
It's like, it would be like buying a $20 hot dog. Like, you could tell me it has caviar, beluga caviar on it, you know, truffles, the whole nine yards. I'm not going to pay $20 for a hot dog.
Right.
It's just like, it's the same thing with eggs, and it's breakfast, man. I don't get it. And I'm not, and I've said it a million times on the show, a buffet don't work for me because I don't eat enough for a buffet. I lose money at a buffet.
Right.
So, but go enjoy breakfast at Be Our Guest. So you want to do a little dining review?
Sure.
To end up this show?
Yep.
We're going to do one restaurant this week. We're going to keep the reviews going. We're going to do an old standby, being everything's been going on down at Disney Springs, and this restaurant hasn't gotten any love lately. I don't hear nobody talking about it. But it's one of Dennis and mine. It's one of our favorites because I think it's like, it's one of our favorites to look at. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. It's iconic. I mean, even way, way back when I started going, it was one of the first things that jumped out at me when I approached the downtown Disney from the boat coming from Riverside.
Riverside.
It's the big boat that you see. Well, actually, it's not a boat, but it looks to be a boat sitting on the water there. And it's Fulton's Crab House. And
used to be called the Empress Lily.
Yes, exactly. And again, it is just a concrete foundation, if you will, that this ship is built on top of. But it certainly does look like a ship, an old paddle ship that you might have seen, years ago. But yeah, it's been an anchor, if you will, no pun intended, of the downtown Disney / Disney Springs now. And I'm kind of glad they're keeping it, or at least we've heard nothing of the sort that it's going to go away or be changed. It's pretty iconic.
Oh, it's beautiful. I remember the very first time we cruised into the lagoon there at downtown Disney from Riverside, seeing that all lit up. It's a beautiful building. We have one here, not here, but me and my wife go up to an area called Lancaster. I know you heard of Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Fulton's has a Fulton's Crab House there, but it's a hotel. And it's a steamship, but it's a hotel. And they have a restaurant and all in it. It's really nice.
Okay.
So, and they are owned by the same company.
Oh.
So it's really cool too. I'm up in Lancaster out in the middle of nowhere and I see a Fulton steamship and I'm like, really, is that? And we went in there and we've had people stay there, and one of my closest friends, Mama G, who I call her and her boyfriend actually stayed there for a long weekend. It's a beautiful place. And it's right in the heart of Lancaster. So I was like surprised it threw me back, because I was thinking it's only there in Disney World, but it's actually Fulton's is a pretty big company. They own a few places.
I never knew that.
So if you're ever in Lancaster, you can go see Fulton, get a little piece of Disney up there. But they do accept annual pass holder discount 10%, Disney Vacation Club, Dennis, discount 10%, and the Tables in Wonderland 20%. And if you're doing the dining plan, this is a two dining credit, two table service, two dining, two sit-down credits.
Right. Yeah, this is a restaurant that we ate very early in our Disney travels, if you will. To be honest, we haven't been there in years. And I don't know why it is, but this is just a restaurant that just is not on my radar. Like I said, it's beautiful. I see it. I acknowledge it. I know it's there. But if I was to sit down right now and plan a 10-day trip, Fulton's would not even enter my mind. And I don't know.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know what it is.
Well, the problem you have, again, is because of your wife and family, I think, because of the no fish.
Yes, it's partly.
Because
that.
This is 100, this is like, I'd say 75% a fish bar, 80%, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's called the Crab House.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess that's probably it. But eat there once, and we really liked it. But coming away from that experience, I remember vividly, although we were in a different financial situation back then, we said, wow, that was like crazy expensive back then.
Yeah, it's on par with the California Grill now, I would say, the prices, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
I'd say 80% of this menu is seafood. So, I mean, if you're a seafood lover, this is one of the places you want to go.
Right. Yeah, and my experience when I was there, and I might have told this story on one of our shows many, many shows ago, but, you know, the waiter that came over, and I got lobster, and my wife got lobster, I forget which that particular night. But they explained to us that they fly in lobster. Like if you order a Maine lobster or something like that, every day they fly in seafood from all over the country that's, you know, local to that region, right? You don't order lobster and you get the soft shell lobsters from down south or whatever. Although you can get them and order them. But, you know, I think part of why the menu is kind of on the pricey side is you're getting authentic seafood from wherever it would be best in the world. You know, if you're getting, you know, crab cakes or whatever, they're probably getting the crab from, you know, up in Maryland somewhere or off the coast rather. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's part of why it's so expensive. But it was very, very good, as I recall. I mean, we were very happy, and it is kind of a high-end experience too.
Yeah, the other thing with us is it's always on the list. We always want to go again, but it's just the point of you have to be at the proper mood, proper attire, and it has to be perfect timing to want to go here. Because again, it's kind of like you were saying, because we want to be in the parks.
Right.
But the offerings, if you're a seafood lover, I mean, they have a lot of things that are different than any other restaurant, which is pretty cool. Like they have a lobster corn dog for an appetizer, which is salsa verde sweet and a sweet chili aioli for $14. And the thing of it is have you ever heard of a lobster corn dog before? I haven't. Yeah, you know, and they have mussels and beer, you know, Maine mussels, what a Yingling lager, leeks, and a creme fraiche, which is $13. They have crab cakes, beef tenderloin skewers, fish tacos, which is a blackened market catch, pico de gallo, queen fresco, and what, guacamole. But, you know, I mean, and then calamari. So they have different appetizers. You got your shrimp cocktail. You got your crab ceviche, or ceviche, as you call it, you know, which is jumbo love crab, avocado, peppers, onions, live salsa verde again, Alaska queen crab, which that is mentioned at the top of the page, which is a largest of snow crab species served with red potatoes or corn on the cob.
Wow.
Which there's a lot of different things that they have here. Ahi tuna in lettuce cups, which that's a new trend going on, the lettuce cups.
Right.
You know, and then oysters on a half shell. You like oysters on the half shell?
I can eat a couple of them. Not my most favorite thing, but I can eat a couple of those.
And then they have something that I really like. Have you ever, I've told you about this before, the corn soup.
Oh, yeah, right.
But they have a corn and crab soup here that is really, really good. Mm. You know, it's local sweet corn with blue crab and cream for $9, which is, you know, it's different. I would like, I think you would like that. I think I know I would.
Right.
I know I do, but it's awesome. But I think you would like it. And then they have you could be your snob. You can test their New England clam chowder.
I
see if it's up to par.
I would definitely do that. I can't remember if we had it when we ate there, but I'm sure it's quite good.
So, what catches your eye on this menu?
Probably the Maine lobster. They have the chef's specials, which is a Maine lobster, a pound and a quarter whole lobster, corn on the cob, red potatoes, and that's market price. Maine lobster roll, a pound and a quarter whole lobster, little neck clams, mussels, Old Bay, corn on the cob, red potatoes. That's also market price. Then you can get your snow crab legs, pound and a quarter of Canadian clusters served with potatoes, corn on the cob, that's $34. Crab legs, crab duet, Alaskan king and Canadian snow, served with red potatoes and corn on the cob, $55. Crab legs, just the Alaskan king, pound and a quarter, served with red potatoes, corn on the cob, $65.
Now, with the $65 one, I'm hoping that the Deadliest Catch cast signs them as you're eating them for $65.
Right.
I mean, I eat crabs all the time, and I like crabs more than lobster.
Okay.
But I just don't know. $65 for a pound and a quarter of snow crabs?
It's the going rate, I guess. I don't know what to tell you.
With potatoes and corn on the cob, it isn't even like there's anything special coming with it. It isn't like it's a risotto that takes a little time to make. You're getting red potatoes and corn on the cob. I mean, that whole meal I could pick up for $20. It's $45 to make it.
Yeah, it's what it is. I don't know what to tell you.
What I'm saying is, like, you know how, like, we talk about the New York Strip and they'll have special risotto, they'll have a special demi-glaze and all this stuff. Basically, this stuff comes out as plain as could be. It isn't like there's anything special in red potatoes.
Right.
It isn't like the corn on the cob. Is it full with caviar?
I don't know.
And I'm not being smart. It's just $65 for Alaskan King Crab and Queen Experience. That's a lot of money. Oh, no, the Alaskan King and Queen Experience for two. And it's 2.25 pounds between the two, with red potatoes and corn on the cob for $99. So they charge you an extra 50 cents a piece, or $5, $4.50 a piece for the queen cat crap.
Oh.
They can't even throw in a pound and a quarter of it. They had to cut that down to a pound.
Anyways, yeah, it's quite pricey on some of the delicacies, if you will, in the seafood realm. Then for regular entrees, they have a Florida grouper, which is house guacamole, artichoke, spinach, and cherry tomato saute. That's $35. They have crab cakes, which are blue crab, mac chi cho, fried green tomato, romelade, $32.
See, I can see that because they had to make the crab cake. Like, I justified a 32 for the crab cakes more than the 65 for the crab.
Right.
Because it ain't even, like, I could see the 65 if they took all the meat out of the shell for me. I still got to work.
Right. Well, like I said,
you know, I'm doing all the
you
work.
You and I look at it a little bit differently. I just resign myself to the fact, if I'm going to a high-end restaurant, if I'm going to the Grill, if I'm going to the Gico, if I'm going to Fulton's here or whatever, you know, in my mind, if it's just my wife and I know I'm dropping $1.25, $1.50, whatever it is with tip and everything. So I don't wig out about the prices because I know I'm going to pay a lot. I know I'm going to pay triple what I could pay back home. And in my view, if you always use what you could do back home or at your restaurant or at your local market, it's never going to make sense to you. Never.
No, but you're missing my point. Like, I won't buy crabs out anymore for $65. I just don't. It isn't worth it to me is the bottom line. Like, I think other things on here, like $35, $50, I don't even mind $50 for a steak and something that they actually made. The point of it is when it's something like, do you justify paying? Would you pay $40 for a bowl of spaghetti?
No, I wouldn't.
That's how I justify crab legs. They're the easiest thing. You throw them on the grill, they're done in 5 minutes. Like, there's nothing special that a chef is doing to justify that. That's my point. It isn't about the price.
Right.
I don't mind spending $1.25. I just spent $130 going out for my birthday because it was two things that they made that I know it takes something to make. But to just throw some pasta in a pot and pay $32, I just don't. That's my point. It isn't the money that they're charging here. It's just the particular entrees that I don't think is worth it. That I would never order.
Right,
but
you'd never see a $40 bowl of spaghetti. I think, you know, particularly, and you know this, with seafood, it's like it said on some of the menu items, it's market price. I mean, it goes up daily, sometimes hourly, depending on what boats are coming in. So you're paying for that premium for, you know, for crab. It has nothing to do with how they cook it. If for some reason, you know, crab is $20 a pound or $30 a pound or whatever it is, by the time they pay that and get it shipped there and all that stuff, that's what you're paying for. It isn't the fact that, it's X price or Y price. It's, you know, whatever the market will bear.
Yeah, but like that's why I have problems going into, like, Tutu Italia a lot, because of some of the prices on the basic spaghetti, if you understand what I'm saying, for meals like that. I mean, like, a lot of people complain about how expensive that is, if you follow me, because it's basically pasta.
Right.
And that's the deal I get with that. It's nothing that you couldn't do it at home I just understand how to cook, so there's just certain things with me that I can't justify. That's
no, and I hear you, but again, on the other side, I look at it like this. I'm going to Disney World. I know I'm going to pay triple, quadruple what I could buy back home. home or whatever, everything's expensive. I mean, you know, we've all had these arguments about, oh, I'm not going to pay $2.50 for a bottle of water. That's obscene. Well, if you're thirsty and you're down there and you didn't bring your own or you didn't have a car, that's what you're going to pay. No use complaining about it. It is what it is.
See, and that's where I'm weird. Like, I justify that because I understand they got to pay somebody to hand that to you. And I get that. It's like somebody's working, and I get the $2.50 for a water because you were stupid enough not to put it in your backpack because you could have brought one.
Right.
So you deserve to pay. If I forget the water at the room, the $2.50 is fine because I want that water at the time. My point is I'm not going to sit down and order that meal for that because I would rather order something else that I can't do at home is my point. Something that's special, something that I will pay $67, $60, $70 for a meal if it's something special.
Right.
But I don't think crab legs are special is the whole point of this. Just like I don't think spaghetti for $25 or $28 is worth it.
Yeah, but you can make the argument with spaghetti. I mean, you can make the argument it ain't worth more than $4. I mean, it's freaking spaghetti.
That's why I won't ever order spaghetti
right,
out.
Right,
I just
right.
won't. I'm just not going to. It's not worth it to me. I'll go in and get a lasagna. I'll get a chicken parm because at least they're doing something different
right.
with it. I feel like I can justify that. It isn't about the money. It's about the item that I'm buying.
Right.
There's certain things that aren't worth it to me.
All right.
That's
Let's
all.
Move along.
So we got off our boxes. Back and
yeah,
forth.
Yeah, so anyways, the crab cakes, they have shrimp and grits. They offer a jambalaya, which is shrimp, and andouille sausage, chicken, crawfish, tomatoes, trinity, with rice baked in a cast iron skillet. That sounds pretty good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can get a swordfish. They have Idaho rainbow trout, jumbo shrimp, fresh from the fryer, served with fries, $26.
See, now that's something I would like because it's different, and it's something that I'm not making at home all the time. That's my
right.
point.
We moved on from that.
No, I can't stop. You know me. Go ahead. I'll argue a point until I beat it to gone.
Atlantic salmon, which is a cedar plank roasted butternut squash puree, indami smoked bacon succotash for $32. Then you have the market catch, which is a chef's seasonal preparation, market price. Sea scallops, fresh from the fryer, served with fries, $28. Then you got like a seafood combination, which is kind of like a combination platter. Fresh from the fryer, jumbo shrimp, sea scallops, and cod fillet, $29. Clams and linguine, Cedar Key Little Neck clams, white wine clam sauce for $25. Shrimp scampi, white wine, garlic butter, cherry tomato, basil, penne, $27. Seafood Fra Diavolo, shrimp scallops, yeah. calamari, little neck clams, mussels, spiced tomato, basil, linguine for $35. Mussels and marinara. Oh, wow, they got an extensive menu here. Mussels and marinara.
They do, man.
Maine blue mussels, tomato, basil, marinara, linguine for $20. Chicken and ganache, wood grilled chicken, saute baby kale, mushrooms, charred tomato, cream, potato, ganache, $24. And finally, we get to some meat items for those.
Your wife and kids can eat
now. Yeah, baby back ribs. You get a hickory smoked barbecue sauce, coleslaw fries, full rack, $29, half rack, $21. New York strip, 16-ounce bone-in, wood-grilled caramelized onions and mushrooms, sea-salted crusted baked potato for $48. And then they offer a 8-ounce filet mignon with mashed potatoes for $47.
See, they actually mash the potatoes, so I'm on board for
that. That's all right. And, of course, with most of these high-end restaurants, side dishes are at an additional cost. You can get asparagus, spinach, broccoli, mushrooms, hash browns. You can get a baked potato, mashed potatoes, Oscar, jumbo lump crab, wood-grilled asparagus, sauce Berenice, $7, Canadian snow crab, less. So I guess you can get a side of these crab offerings and stuff.
A lot of times it's a half pound is what they give.
Yeah, because it says the Alaska broiler claws, a half pound or a pound at market price. So, this is a very extensive seafood menu, and if you're into seafood, this is definitely a place you'd want to check out.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like, wouldn't you agree with me? It's like 85% seafood.
I'd say 98%. I think there was only like 4 non-fish seafood-related items.
No, it's a nice place. If you're a seafood lover, it's a place to go. Again, just stay away from the crabs for that price. But anyway, I'm kidding, Dan. You know, it's just one of those deals. I really think if you're a seafood lover, go there, and the building is beautiful.
Oh, no doubt about it. And they're particularly, they have, I think they have some outdoor seating, or if the seating isn't actually outside, I think they have a bar or some stools or something, and you can actually sit outside on the, kind of the, I'll call it the veranda of the ship or whatever, and you can look out into the water. And particularly with all the new construction down there and new restaurants, I'm sure the sight lines will be quite beautiful.
Yeah, you can order appetizers, heat a snack out on the veranda, like you said. You can eat. You don't have to sit down. You can go in and eat it. There's sit down and like bar side eating in there too. So that was fun, Dan. Fulton's is a lot of offerings. It made me hungry for some seafood. I know that much. I'm
Absolutely.
gonna go to Acme and get 2 pounds of crab for $15. And I'm gonna throw them on my grill. They're $7.99. I'm sorry, with tax would be like $19. I'm gonna go get 2 pounds. I'll be eating within 10 minutes. The hardest part is I gotta wrap them in the aluminum foil to throw them on to warm them up. But that'll be it. We want to thank our buddy Scrapple for giving us a review over on iTunes. We really appreciate
Yeah, that
that.
was a great review.
My buddy Dan thought I was the Scrapple King. But no, we really appreciate you guys headed over to iTunes. Our buddy Pat left us a review over there. We appreciate everybody. Please, guys, go over to iTunes and leave us reviews. We need them. It helps us out on the search engine. And keep in touch with us on Twitter, Facebook. We've been adding friends every day. Welcome aboard, guys. We really appreciate, meeting all of you. It's a lot of fun to have new friends on the show, isn't it,
Oh,
Dan?
absolutely. We're growing by leaps and bounds, and that's all thanks to you, old listeners, and all the new listeners that have come on board. And we hope you enjoy what we do, and we appreciate you listening each and every show.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon and have a great weekend. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.